And now we're going to move into your daily intelligence brief and talk about some of the things that are going to be happening tonight. First of all, I believe this is going to be a seminal day. Historians are going to look back on this day, September 1st, 2022, as a day that is historic, that something will be ignited this day. And I'm saying that, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but I believe tonight that the pretender in the White House is going to declare many Americans essentially enemies of the state. And this is a pretty dramatic thing, but it's very clear there's a shaping operation that's happening. And we're going to bring our guest on here in a second, our next guest. But I want to just highlight a couple things that have been very, very concerning here just in the last couple hours. One specific article that probably has been missed by a lot of people, but WorldNet Daily has it. Thousands in Colorado locked out of home thermostats by Xcel. So they were locked out by what they called an extraordinary emergency. Now, these are smart meters. We've talked about that on the show today. What happens if the emergency is, well, maybe somebody there that they don't like based on a social credit score system, maybe they shouldn't have power turned on. I don't know. I'm just telling you what the facts are happening as they come in right now. And the other one that I want to talk about very, very quickly, besides the food processing plant and the refinery that were hit this last week, this was by Kyoto News. I talked a little bit about Japan and Taiwan recently, but this appears to be imminent from our sources. Taiwan has begun talks with Japan on evacuating Japanese citizens from Taiwan. And it really appears that timelines are being sped up here. There's a lot of other intel we could talk about, but I don't want to waste any more time. I want to bring our guest on right now. And for the first time, at least on Patriot Radio, Mike Shelby. He's a former intelligence NCO and contractor, veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, now the CEO of Forward Observer, which is one of my go-to places for information today. It really is intelligence for people who love America. They're delivering high-impact intelligence to shape a real-world ground-level understanding of America's tumultuous future. Mike, it's great to have you on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Matt. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing really well. There's a lot going on right now. First, let's start with this speech tonight by Biden. By all accounts, the last 2 weeks, there's been a real uptick in a push to label the MAGA movement essentially as domestic terrorists. And many people are saying that's exactly what he's going to be saying tonight. You know, being just objective from a military standpoint, if I saw something like this happen overseas, this really does seem like a shaping operation. And it seems like there's an increase in the timeline. In other words, the timeline is being bumped up for something really, really significant to happen here shortly. What is your take on all of this? We'll start there.
Yeah, I agree. It could be a shaping operation. I would say at best, it's Biden trying to posture ahead of midterms and convince moderates that you don't want to go vote for the extremist party and potentially try to save the House or maybe not lose the Senate. Just at best, what I think is the more likely option here is that this is an attempt to set kind of a new floor on political discourse and really frame Trump supporters and America First and Make America Great Again crowd into the same thing they've been saying: domestic terrorists, semi-fascists, and frame that. When we talk about shaping operations in terms of conventional warfare, before in warfighting, you go into an area, you target command and control and communications, you make sure that the enemy can't communicate, that the commanders are not able to issue commands to subordinate units. In counterinsurgency, which is of something that we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. Shaping operations sometimes can do that, but really it's been psychological and information warfare or operations. And so it does appear that in order to create this new floor, create this kind of new baseline, put a name on MAGA movement, which is now, you know, terrorists and fascists. If they're successful in pushing that message, and then they kind of shape the information space, shape the battlefield, and then government can come in and justify things that they want to do later because, well, hey, these are terrorists now. You know, it's kind of like George W. Bush's, you're either with us or with the terrorists, make a choice.
Yeah, it really seems like it. And I love how you said that, you know, at the best, this is what it is, but at the worst, I mean, this could be a fairly significant turning point in our country. It really seems like also there is a lot more cyber attacks. I know some of it isn't being made public, but a lot more cyber attacks happening. Very similar in the uptick that led up to the invasion by Russia of Ukraine, which included the United States. And we're seeing some more reports of that. And then, of course, we have whatever the cause is, it's almost irrelevant with these food processing facilities. I mean, there is impact happening to our food supply chain here in the United States. So if you could go into those things as well.
Sure. Yeah, you know, this is something that we hear from time to time from cybersecurity folks, and they're monitoring the kinds of activities, the cyber activities are coming out of what they believe are Russian or Chinese actors. And, you know, one of the things that we have seen a lot of recently, you know, in the past, well, earlier this year is Russia probing, Russia trying to exploit, trying to find through phishing attacks and other ways, Russian cyber operations trying to get into American networks. And we know that the Russians have done this in the past. The Chinese have obviously done this as well. And by the way, turnabout's fair play. I mean, we do this back to them as well. But yeah, one of the most recent things is Chris Krebs. I think it's Chris Krebs. He's a former CISA director. Said at Black Hat, which is an annual information security conference in Las Vegas, like 3 weeks ago, I think, came out and said that, you know, his sources, which he may have been kind of boiling down classified information, but, you know, he said that China's preparing for a cyber attack. And that's kind of like saying, well, China's preparing for war. It's like, well, I mean, that's what a military does, is they prepare for war. However, given this context that China appears to be getting ready to make a move on Taiwan, I don't think it's going to be like a conventional invasion. I think they're going to try to keep it below the threshold of conventional war, try to keep it in the gray zone. That's much more difficult to respond to, especially when you don't have the gray zone tools to respond to that. So in that context, you know, it does appear that China is readying itself to say, well, if the United States is going to get involved conventionally, if they're going to send a couple of carrier strike groups or mobilize and deploy special operations, Marine Corps units, additional aircraft, and send that to the South China Sea or send more to Australia or to Japan or South Korea, and really try to mobilize and stop this, what's probably going to be a Chinese blockade and embargo of Taiwan, then China could launch cyber attacks and try to slow the United States down. And so, you know, you cause a gap in that decide and act where, you know, the United States military leadership and the Biden administration can decide on how they're going to respond. But if they can't act, if they can't get ships over to the area, can't get munitions and supply and all the other things that it takes to fight a war potentially over there, then China buys itself a lot of time and they're able to move. So it appears, and by the way, this is something that the Army's been warning about for years. Back in December 2020, the Army published a facilities security white paper, and they didn't name China explicitly, but they said, look, foreign actors are going to try, they're going to act conventionally and unconventionally, and in essence, strike soft targets, like critical infrastructure, also military targets, in order to reduce the operational effectiveness and really ability for the United States to use its military to back up its geopolitical objectives. So this is something that Max and I talk about frequently. And I can't put a date on it, but you know, within the next 6 to 12 months, I would not be at all surprised if China goes ahead and tries to kick this thing off.
So there's something very interesting that a local business owner brought to my attention. And the only reason I pay attention to this particular business owner is because he called something in 2019. I got a very kind of cryptic email that just said security should be foremost, cybersecurity should be foremost in everybody's mind right now. Back in 2019, this individual let me know that insurance companies were removing payouts for businesses, payouts for damage due to disease. And he said, something seems like there might be a pandemic coming. Well, now, just a few weeks ago, he contacted me again and said, insurance companies are now removing payouts for damage due to cyber attack. And I find that very interesting that just some of these little cues, it's not like it's dispositive, we know for sure. It's just a little cue that something seems like it's being readied right now and certain people are paying attention. And I want to talk about this as well from the standpoint of drones. So Taiwan now has shot at one drone. Now, apparently, according to Taiwan News, about 14 hours ago, has shot down another drone. And there's a cybersecurity component in that realm as well. Could this kick off? I mean, could there be something that happens conventionally? I know they're going to start unconventionally, but conventionally here in the next year. What is your analysis of that? And then also, if you can, for the listeners that aren't familiar with the concept of gray zone activity, if you could define that a little bit for them as well.
Sure. Well, militaries have stumbled into conventional conflict in the past. You know, anytime you start putting military assets, especially ships, destroyers, and other things, into an area where they don't typically operate, and especially into an area that is potentially built up, that an adversary has built up with their own military assets, you can get into a situation where a tactical decision is going to have a strategic effect, and that would be, you know, the U.S. military, or, you know, potentially South Korean or Japanese, misreads the Chinese military or vice versa, and they misinterpret something, and they think, well, this is an aggressive act, and now we're going to open fire because now this is a self-defense scenario, and then just stumble into World War III effectively. So, you know, that's one of the things that could potentially happen here, especially if the United States, you know, we have started to send additional military assets over there. We just sent a bunch of our B-2 bombers, basically rebasing them at least temporarily in Australia, sending a lot of littoral combat ships over to the region. And these are warfighting machines. And they're doing that to send a message to China that says, look, you know, we're doing this to deter you effectively. And, you know, again, the problem is we're Americans and they're Chinese. We don't think alike. And so I think it's very easy for either side to misjudge what the other is intending or trying to do here. And then on the gray zone, you know, if we think about this from cooperation, if we think about this at different levels, there's cooperation, there's competition, there's crisis, and then there's conflict, being a shooting war. And China really likes, you know, if three is the level of conflict, China really likes to operate at about a 2.5 or 2.75, just below the threshold of conventional conflict. And they do this because they're trying to exploit what we call the gray zone. And that you're not at war and you're also not at peace. And so by operating in the gray zone, you take the United States military, you take the United States largest strategic advantage, which is the size and the might of its military. You effectively take that off the table. If you're saying, hey, we're going to do these things that we know are not going to trigger a conventional war, we're just going to skirt up to that edge, and we can continue exploiting things economically, politically, diplomatically, informationally, and we know that we're not going to be attacked for it. And so China really likes to do this. Russia really likes to do this. A number of countries around the world like to do this because they know it is not going to start a war. And that's why this gray zone or hybrid conflict or whatever you want to call it, it really has become popular because you completely take entire courses of action out of the United States playbook when you operate in the gray zone.
And a lot of commanders aren't even recognizing fourth and fifth generation warfare right now. I mean, they're not even recognizing that the Chinese wrote about this 20 years ago in the book Unrestricted Warfare, and they're just following pages 30 to 50 in that book right now. We as Americans, though, need to have a real heightened alert to things in the news that may have one meaning in the headline, but another meaning to us on the ground. An example of that is the lockdowns in China that are happening right now, major cities in China, millions of people being locked down. And the effect is essentially trade warfare, that there is a cover now for a slowdown in trade and a slowdown in manufacturing that obviously is going to have an effect here in the United States of America. What can people be looking for like that in the news that's going to key them that, hey, something is up right now and I should be preparing my family? And then we'll get to what are some steps that people can do right now to be preparing.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I probably couldn't tell you, but yeah, China's in a bad place right now. They've had to cut electrical production to a lot of their industrial areas, so they're not making a lot of the things that they used to. They also have, I'm sure everyone's seen it, major droughts. That's going to lead to agriculture problems, and so all that's going to have follow-on effects. So anytime you have disintermediation, especially in the supply chain, where everyone's reliant on another country, right? I mean, you go out and you buy a Honda, and that thing's made in 100 different countries, you know. And so if one factory goes down in 100 countries, you're going to build 99% of a vehicle, and you know, it's not going to function. So, you know, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you exactly what to look for. I mean, it's you know, kind of a broad question, but you know, I tell you, the evacuations you talked about, yeah, when embassies start closing down, right, and evacuating their personnel, or they start sending families of U.S. Embassy personnel home, like that's a pretty big one.
And so let's talk a little bit then about how can people prepare right now. I mean, you've done a great job talking about economics, and that we don't meet the traditional, you know, definitions of things like civil war that gets thrown around by a lot of people. But we are facing economic downturn, economic hardship. We are facing potential supply chain disruption. So how can people be preparing for these things? And you know, how real is this? Because there's some people that are kind of still trying to ignore it because things are still going pretty well. I mean, it's a little bit higher food prices, but not really impacting everybody's life so much. But it just seems like there's this bow wave in front of us right now that a lot of people are missing.
Well, you know, for a long time, there was the theory that economic interdependence prevents war, because countries are disincentivized from pursuing war as an option because they're going to break a supply chain and they're going to hurt themselves more, or, you know, they're going to break something. Being that the supply chain's already broken, being that we're already going through this period of disintermediation, I really can't stress this enough. If we do get into a high-end conflict with China, all this China trade stops. A lot of these global shipping lanes are also going to stop. And so, you know, I would assess what I need that's currently made in a foreign country. And you would have been much better off doing this 2.5 years ago. But Americans are not going to be prepared for things from China stopping. And I do think it is a real threat. You know, we've been talking about conflict with China for a long time. Of course, China's been at war with us for a long time in the gray zone. And we're not even turning the curve on seriously considering this as a possibility. I don't think, you know, maybe in certain rooms at the Pentagon and other areas, but by and large, no one is serious. I don't see a lot of people being serious about this. Yeah. And as long as we're economically interdependent, you know, you're disincentivized from war. Well, when you're economically when you're no longer dependent on anyone else for economics, all of a sudden you're no longer disincentivized from pursuing war as a course of action. So I think that's probably where we are.
So then the question for people, where should they go for their information right now? And where can they find out more and subscribe to Forward Observer? And I know you talk a lot about too organization at the ground level, at the local level. And if you could comment on that a little bit.
Yeah. So our website's forwardobserver.com, and we have a free daily email called the Daily Essay or the Daily Situational Awareness. We cover geopolitical intelligence and traditional kind of military intelligence issues. And then we also have a subscriber only, a paid newsletter. And that goes much deeper, especially into domestic issues. And you can get that at forwardobserver.com/subscribe. We definitely would appreciate the support. And my big message on how to get through this is tribe has been a very popular term for 10 years, and it takes a little more than tribe. It's going to take building political, social, and economic power. I mean, here in a few minutes, we're about to hear from the President of the United States talk about 70 million Americans and potentially make them enemies of the state, as you said earlier. And, you know, you have to have community. You have to be building political power at the local level, social power at the local level, and you have to be building economic powers at the local level as well. And I really do think if you can build that in a community, and you can elect good leaders at the community level and then elect good leaders at the state level in a federal system, you'll be much better off. You'll be much more resilient regardless of whatever they're going to decide to do in DC.
And I think that's the biggest message out of today. You know, regardless of what China does or even what happens in Washington, D.C. tonight, that the strength of America is the decentralization and the power at the local level. And I really appreciate that you've been pushing into that and telling people, you know, you really need to take this stuff seriously, because, you know, you don't want to be there at the last moment when you have very little time to prepare. So in the last couple minutes that we have left, any closing thoughts for the listeners and those watching live on Facebook right now?
You know, I study low intensity conflict, and low intensity conflict is a term. It just means conflict below the threshold of conventional war. So it's not tanks and bombers, but it's above routine peaceful competition. And the United States absolutely is in a low intensity conflict right now. And I know there's a very big focus on self-defense and firearms and stuff like that, but you go back through and you read about Algeria and Indochina and a lot of other places and Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, that's fundamentally a political fight. And I'm not even talking about a war fighting aspect. I'm talking about a war over legitimacy. And so the question is, you know, all these people, they're super preppers and they're very prepared, but they have no political legitimacy at the local level. Those people are going to lose. You don't shoot your way into political legitimacy. You do that by being active in local politics and building social power through a church, through charity organizations, and building economic power, running profitable businesses that you can then turn around and hire local members of your community and use that money to help build up your community. And some people call it hearts and minds. I call it political, social, and economic power. And if we're going to win the future, we have to build that soft power. And there's no amount of, you cannot win a low intensity conflict unless you have that soft power.
Yeah, it's not just about buying pillows. You actually have to do something at the local level. Amen.
We're coffee.
Mike Shelby. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, that is a bad joke.
All right. Mike Shelby, Ford Observer. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you. Keep up the fight. And we want to have you on again here in the next couple of weeks just to kind of get a situational update on what's happening. But God bless you. And thank you for everything you're doing in the cause of liberty and freedom.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
Mike Shelby, Forward Observer, forwardobserver.com, forwardobserver.com. Check it out. It's one of my go-to sources for information on what's happening in the world, and their analysis has been spot on. Years in advance, by the way. So this isn't just like all of a sudden they're right overnight. They have been spot on years in advance. And that developing of soft power at the local level, being involved and active in politics, is such a key point in the time that we're in. Here in a few minutes, we're going to hear from the pretender in the White House. And if he decides to sow division, to spark division in this country against 70 million Americans by labeling them domestic terrorists, we will remember this day probably easily into the next two generations, and historians definitely will. But what you can do right now is begin organizing at the local level, being involved at the local level if you're not already. And if you are already, come be encouraged. And even if you're not, come be encouraged at the Reawaken America Tour event at State Line, 16 and 17 September. Yours truly is going to be speaking on the 17th at 5:15. And also, come to Dr. Emmanuel Ziga's conference, 8, 9, and 10 September, right at downtown Spokane at the Spokane Convention Center. These are times to center ourselves in Jesus Christ, make sure that he is at the center of our lives, so he will be at the center of our family and the center of our country, and also to network and build that soft power at the local level, regardless of what happens in China, regardless of cyber attacks, regardless of supply chain disruptions, regardless of what happens in the White House tonight. That is what is going to make America great again. That is where American resiliency is. And that is why this country still is the greatest nation in the history of the world, because we have decentralized and power is in the people and at the local level. So let's be the government of the United States of America once again and be the church. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. And he is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.